Wouldn't we all want the opportunity at some stage in our lives to turn around, to get a second chance? The song included the lyrics, "Turn around, every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years has gone by. Turn around, every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your eyes. Turn around, bright eyes, every now and then I fall apart. Turn around." We're back now, after a short break, to the book of Jonah, which we've been, those of you who don't come here regularly won't know, we've been going through the book of Jonah. There's four chapters, and we're back to it now, after a while away. It was actually a month ago that we did chapter two, so maybe we could do with a little bit of a recap. Jonah is a book in the Old Testament that tells us a story. In fact, in the Hebrew language that it was originally written in, it begins with the equivalent word of "once upon a time." And we know, don't we, that stories that begin with the words "once upon a time" usually are not written to give us an accurate historical reference of stuff that actually happened. They're there because normally they have a moral to them. They have something that they want to tell us. And so it is too, I believe, with this book of Jonah. It's there to tell us something. So let's remind ourselves of the story so far, shall we? Jonah is this Old Testament prophet who had been asked by God to go to the city of Nineveh and pronounce its destruction. But Jonah, he didn't want to go. And Jonah had really good reason not to go, because Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Today the city still exists. It's what we now know as Mosul. That was Nineveh. And the Assyrians, well, they were the dominant nation, the world power at that time. They had invaded and conquered lots of lands, but including the land of Israel. And the people of Israel had either been killed or taken into captivity into Assyria. So Nineveh was this pagan, God-ignoring city that the book of Jonah earlier on describes as a city full of wickedness. No self-respecting Jew would want to go there. No wonder that Jonah didn't want to go. So Jonah escapes on a ship going the other way, but God causes a storm to stop the ship's journey and threaten everybody on board. Jonah eventually admits to the sailors that he's the cause of the problem, and they reluctantly agree to throw him overboard. As soon as they throw him overboard, everything becomes quiet. The sea becomes still. And Jonah, rather fortuitously, gets swallowed by a huge fish. That's chapter one. And while in the fish, Jonah, well, he sort of repents, although he doesn't actually use the word sorry at all. And then he gets washed up on dry land. That was chapter two. And so we come now this morning to chapter three. This is your very last chance. How many times, I wonder, have you said that? Perhaps to your children, or your grandchildren, or your spouse. You know, so often we only get one chance at things, don't we? It might be the chance to audition for a part in the school play. It might be when you go for an interview for a job. You only get one chance, don't you, at that interview. Or it could be that very first date you go on. If you blow it, there won't be a second date. You get one chance. And it's the same with so many things in our lives. Very rarely do we get the opportunity for a second chance. But chapter 3 of Jonah is all about second chances. It's all about the wonderful opportunity that people get to turn around, like we've just been seeing on the video, and have another go to do something different. Jonah, he disobeyed God. God had told him to go to Nineveh, but Jonah had refused. And in this chapter, Jonah gets a second chance. Nineveh is a city that deserves God's judgment. It's about to be destroyed, but Nineveh in this chapter gets a second chance. So let's read the chapter now, and then we'll have another song, and then we'll have a little look at what it is that we might take out of this chapter from Jonah. So I think Richard's going to come and read to us Jonah chapter 3.
Jonah chapter 3. It can be found on page, I think it's 928 of your Bibles in the back of the chairs. Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion. He did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. This is the word of the Lord.
So what do you reckon that this third chapter of Jonah is saying to us, do you think? I've already said, haven't I, that this is a chapter all about second chances, about being able to turn around. And that's definitely the biggest thing that I get from this third chapter of Jonah. But I want to consider three things in relation to that, if you like, that I get out of it. First of all, I want us to think for a second about shifting direction. One reason why this chapter is all about second chances is because it's a story all about shifting direction. I wonder if you've ever had to shift direction on something. Maybe you were headed one way and then either dramatically or slowly, you turned around and started heading the other way. Now, that could be in a very physical sense. In other words, you were in a car going one way and turned around and went the other way. Or it could be metaphorically in your life. Your life seems to be going down one road, and then your life's kind of shifted direction and turned around to go a different way. Because in this chapter, we see that Jonah shifted direction, the people of Nineveh shifted direction, and even God shifts direction. First of all, let's consider Jonah. Jonah has had plenty of time to think, hasn't he? Having faced the consequences of his earlier actions, he spent 3 days inside that fish. Now, that must have been pretty smelly, definitely, but also incredibly scary. And then God tells Jonah once more to go. Jonah gets a second chance, and this time he does go. He travels about 900 miles on foot over the desert to this city called Nineveh. God has given him a really clear directive and a second chance to follow it. And so Jonah shifts direction and he goes. And then the people of Nineveh shift direction. They hear the message that Jonah brings and they respond by repenting of all of their ways. Although they have previously shown no time for God and have been a wicked people, we're told, nevertheless they shift direction. And finally, even God shifts direction. God has pronounced that the city will be overthrown and destroyed, but then God relents and shows mercy and doesn't carry out his threat. God shifts direction. It says that the people of Nineveh put on sackcloth and fasted. That was a sign of repentance, of repenting. The king of Nineveh urged the people to repent of their ways. And in verse 10, we read that God relented, or as it could quite easily be translated, God repented. Now, obviously, God doesn't need to repent of sin or any wrongdoing, but let's look at what that word repent actually means. The word literally means what Bonnie Tyler sang about. It means turn around. That's what the word means. It means to shift direction. Or it could be translated as to be returned, to come back to the way that things should have been or were always meant to be in the first place. That's what it means to repent. And when Jesus lived, he was always urging people to repent, to turn around, to shift direction. We read in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus came telling people that the kingdom of God had come and for them to repent. In other words, he invited them to shift direction, to turn around. Jonah is all about the chance to turn things around. You know, one of the amazing things I think about God is that with God, there is always a second chance. A chance to shift direction. God is always looking for opportunities for people to turn around to the way that things were always meant to be, to the relationship with God that God had always intended. Because, you know, with God, there is nothing that is lost or hopeless. No one is lost or hopeless. And you know, for us sitting here in this place this morning, that should be really good news. Because whoever we are, whatever we've done with God, there is always another chance. Always the opportunity to shift direction. It could well be that as you sit here this morning, you may well think to yourself that there is no hope for you. Maybe you think you've blown your chance. You need to resign yourself to the consequence of whatever it is you think you've done or who you are. But what I want to tell you today is that our God is a God of second chances. And third and fourth and infinite chances, actually. With God, whatever we think is a lost cause is just another opportunity for him to show his love and his grace that we've just been singing about and his mercy. And he calls you now to return to him, to turn around, to shift direction back into his everlasting love. And I wonder too, who is it that we're prepared to give second chances to? Is there anyone who we consider to be a hopeless cause? Because whoever we consider as hopeless, whatever we may think is a lost cause, is never, ever the case with God. God calls us to give second chances too. And then the second thing that I think about as I read this third chapter of Jonah is about crossing barriers. Okay? I wonder what barriers you have in your life that you find hard to cross. Jonah had been in this big fish for 3 days. As we've said, I mean, that must have been incredibly scary. I don't know of any other person I've even read about that survived being in a fish for any length of time, actually. But now it seems to me that as Jonah goes to Nineveh, he finds himself in a big fish all over again. Here was Jonah in Nineveh. I've already said that Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, the biggest city and the biggest, nastiest, meanest nation of all the world. They had no time for God. These were pagans. And for any Jew to go there, to that city that had been the cause of the downfall of their own nation, And the very opposite of everything that is holy would have been the last place they wanted to go. It would have been unthinkable. And this was a really big city too. Jonah couldn't just do a quick in and out to the city. We read in the next chapter that it had a population of over 120,000 people. It was 60 miles in circumference, we read earlier on. It took 3 days to walk through it. So for Jonah to go there is a really big deal. He would be at least ridiculed and probably killed. It seems to me he's definitely in a big fish all over again. It must have been his worst nightmare. So here's a question for you. What, I wonder, is your big fish? What wouldn't you want to do? Where wouldn't you want to go? What barrier could you not cross, you don't want to cross, even if you had to? Bonnie Tyler sang, "Turn Around, Every Now and Then I Get a Little Bit Terrified." We all get a little bit terrified, don't we, from time to time? We all have fears and things that worry us. There are things that really scare us. We all have our lines that we don't want to cross. For Jonah, it was having to go to Nineveh. What is it for you, I wonder? What's the barrier that you don't want to cross? But Jonah did cross that barrier. When God persisted in asking him, Jonah went. Because here's the thing, you see. Jonah didn't go alone. God was with Jonah. And for us, whatever it is that we fear, whatever makes us anxious or scared, whatever petrifies us, we don't face it alone. God goes with us. Jesus said, didn't he, that just as he was about to leave this earth, that even though he was going in bodily form, he said, "But I'll never leave you. I'll always be with you," he said. The Bible assures us that God never leaves us or abandons us. In fact, Jesus became one of us and suffered and he died for us as a way of showing us that whatever it is that we go through in our lives, he's been there too. He journeys with us. He travels alongside us. He never asks us to go it alone. So I wonder about the barriers that you need to cross. They're still going to be there. They're not going to go away. God doesn't take it all away, but God does promise to go with us. So whether it's the shaky job prospects that scare you, or maybe that hospital visit that's coming up, or what the kids have been up to, whatever it is that's your big fish, whatever it is that's your barrier you don't want to cross, God offers to travel there with you. Because he's God, you see. And he wants to be God, not just up there of all creation, but he wants to be God in your life. But there's one more thing that I see. You see, there's a question that comes out to me as I go all the way through this third chapter of Jonah. And the question is, who cares? That's almost what this chapter seems to be asking us. Who cares? Nineveh, you might argue, and Jonah certainly argued in the next chapter, definitely deserves to be destroyed. They should be nuked, wiped out, finished, obliterated. The prophet Nahum, who's also got a book in the Old Testament in the Bible, had written about Nineveh. This is what he said about it in his book. He pronounced God bringing wrath and vengeance to it. "I will prepare your grave," he says, "for you are vile." He called it a city of blood and lust. It would be pelted with filth and treated with contempt. Nobody would mourn its destruction. And in Jonah 1, I told you that it's called a city of wickedness. And I told you, didn't I, that it was the Assyrians who had captured and defeated the nation of Israel and taken their people into captivity. So who cares about Nineveh? Not the Jews, for definite. They didn't care. And not Jonah, he didn't want to be there. And as we'll find out in chapter 4, he definitely wanted it destroyed. And the original readers of this book wouldn't care for Nineveh either. They would have wanted God to destroy it. But here's the thing, okay? God did care. God cared enough to send a prophet there, and he cared enough to relent on destroying it, even though they didn't deserve it. Because that's God's nature. That's who God is. Our God is a God who always shows love and mercy. And God always gives second chances and always wants to bring redemption and to pour out extravagant, radical love. That's God's character. That's what God does. That was what was so shocking to the original readers of this story, and it's what is still so shocking to so many people even now. But you know, it's a message that goes all through the Bible. Whether it's the prodigal son, or the thief on the cross, or the sinners, or the foreigners, or the despised, God always wants to redeem and to pardon and to show mercy. Paul says in Romans 5 that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We judge others so easily, don't we? There are other people who we think don't deserve God's love. They don't do the right things, or believe the right things, or act the right way. Let them have it, God, we might think. And I think it's very easy for us to judge ourselves too. We don't deserve God's love, we might think. If anyone deserves to get it, then let me have it, God. Because I don't deserve a second chance. I've screwed up too many times. I've definitely got what's coming to me. But you know, with God, that simply isn't ever true. Because the message of Jonah, and the message I want to shout out today, if you hear nothing else, hear this: God cared. God is a God of love. He always wants to show mercy and to forgive and to bring you back to His everlasting love. It's scandalous, yes. It's shocking, yes. It's outrageous. It's probably not fair, and we don't deserve it. But God loves regardless. God cares regardless. God shows mercy regardless. And God loves you regardless. So whoever you are, God wants you to know today that He loves you. And whatever you've done, God invites you to turn around, to have a second chance. A chance to shift direction, a chance to turn back to Him and to know His love and mercy for yourself. And whatever is your big fish, that barrier you don't want to cross, God wants to know that because He loves you, He goes there with you. He holds you. He will not let you go. He cares for you, you see. He cared for you enough that He sent His Son to die for you so that you could turn around back to Him. So may you know His enormous love and His boundless mercy today. May you know this great God of ours and experience Him for yourself. And may we also be challenged to give everyone the same chances that God gives us. And may we show to everyone that same indiscriminate love and care and mercy that He also shows to us. Amen.